It is my joy to be here. So many old friends and new ones, and just a delight to be here. Thank you. I'm grateful to your pastor for asking me. Let's turn now to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is a written record of something that actually happened. It's not a made-up story. These events actually happened just as they are recorded in God's Word. Most folks know this account as Daniel and the Lion's Den. A much better title would be Jesus Christ Saves Daniel from the Lions. The reason I had Brother Wes read from Hebrews, the great hall of fame of faith, did you notice it said in there, there was a man who believed that God could stop the mouth of lions. All right, look at Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius, who was the king at that time, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now, what that tells us as God's people is that from time to time, God lets men have some temporary rule and reigning. But that's all it is temporary. They reign over some part of His creation by His permission for as long as He allows it. And when it's done, it's done. And Darius was that man in this time. Look at verse 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. You know, God holds all men and women accountable. We know that, don't we? Word teaches that. And God keeps evil men in check sometimes by letting a man like Darius have the rule over a group of folks. And it's for His purpose and His reason and His glory only that it happens that way. Keeps evil men in check. You see, Darius knew if he didn't have somebody watching him, they'd steal from him. They'd cheat him. They'd do him harm, if not outright kill him. Look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You see those two words, excellent spirit. What is the only thing that set Daniel apart from all these other princes and captains and rulers and all these other people? It was an excellent spirit. One way among many to tell God's people are gracious, they're kind, they're truthful. What's going on? They have an excellent spirit. They have integrity, a work ethic. They're honest. They're even truthful. What have they got that others don't? They have an excellent spirit. Folks who fuss and fight and lie and connive and always trying to figure the angles, they lust after money. What's their problem? They don't have an excellent spirit. And it's only by the grace of God if we have one. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Envy and jealousy is common among those who who are around God's people. If you don't know that yet, you just haven't been around long enough yet, they'll be coming for you. They want the position and respect you have, but are not interested in what's required to earn it or required to achieve it. Nor are they willing to bow to the authority of those over them who you will. We understand God's given us bosses and He's given us folks that have the rule over us. And it'll be for our good and His glory. And we're to yield to that. A major goal of the believer is that others find no fault in us. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody would have said about one of us what was said about Daniel? Well, we looked at those fellows looked at him every way they knew how, trying to find some way to deal with him. To go to the king and say, "Do you know this about Daniel?" And there was no fault in him. What made him any different? His desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God. Pontius Pilate said of our Lord, he said, "I don't know what you fellows are talking about." He said, "I find no fault in him." Why? Because there was no fault in him. And God's people, don't we desire to be that way? Don't we look forward to the time when we will be? God can always in everything we do find fault, can't He? You ever have just the best motive, the best intentions, and it all just goes haywire? Why? That's the sin in us. It just leaks out of every pore, doesn't it? Everything we touch gets contaminated by sin. However, God's people don't behave a certain way so God will save them. We behave a certain way and desire to because God has saved us. That's a difference in this religious world and what your pastor's preaching to you here. We're not trying to get saved by what we do. We're giving thanks for being saved by what He's done. Then God gives the excellent Spirit when He saves us. He gives us that. Look at verse 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel pictures Christ here. There's no fault in him. It's a great compliment to Daniel and the grace of God. His only fault in their eyes, do you know what it was? This just is almost, if it weren't written down here, you just have to think that they couldn't, this is ridiculous. You know what they were saying about him? He worships his God too much. Wouldn't anybody here like to have that accusation laid to your account? One time I heard a fella talking about another member of the fellowship at 13th Street. And he said, I know this about him. He said, all he ever does, he said, he's always in church. He said he's there on Sunday morning, Sunday night. He's there on Wednesday night to have all these meetings. He's always there. Well, praise God. The man wanted to be and hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like Christ. Always be nice somebody accuses us of that, isn't it? And that's what these fellows said about Daniel. Said, don't hang wrong with him. He worships this God too much. If we're going to trap him or trick him, it's going to have to be about that. He's always going to worship his God. Look at verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto King Darius, O king, live forever. Boy, beware of flattery. Look out. Look out. And verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, we've all gotten together. We've consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, unless it's to ask you, O King Darius, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. These evil men, these envious men, they thought to set a trap for Daniel. And they appealed to the vanity of Darius to get it done. They tricked him into signing this decree for an evil purpose. Look at verse 10. What did Daniel do? Daniel heard about it, I'm sure. What did he do? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, as they always were in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He knew. Y'all see it there? Daniel knew. You see those two words? Daniel knew. He knew what these men were trying to do. These men knew the wicked business they were about. Let me tell you something else. Daniel's not the only one who knew. Daniel knew, and God knew. God knew what these men were about, and be assured that no one ever sets about some evil purpose toward Christ or His people that God is not fully aware. He knows. You ever have one of your children? You can just see the little wheels turning. They're plotting something. They're about to do something they know they shouldn't. And you know, don't you? You know. You think God doesn't know what all His children are up to and what all those who would do them harm are up to? He knows. God knew their plan, their purpose, and their intent. And be assured, God had the solution in place long before these evil men ever hatched their plot. So what did Daniel do? The same thing we should do when a trial comes our way. He kneeled upon his knees and prayed. He gave thanks. He gave thanks for a trial? Yeah. It's a privilege of God's people to be tried by great trouble. Real trouble. Our God does not send small ships into great waters. He'll run us across a creek, and then He might run us across a stream, and then He might run us across a river. And then across a little sea before He ever sends us out into that deep water. He won't send us any place. He won't try us in any way that He does already know that He has the comfort and the solution and the purpose it will accomplish by doing so. There's trouble, and then there's real trouble. And no doubt Daniel had known some trouble. But what does Daniel do? The answer is the same thing he always does. He prays and gives thanks. Not out of form and ritual, but out of a constant need and desire. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. As thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. These evil men, can you just hear their voices when they came before that king? And they said, O king who lives forever, that Daniel. got him now. That Daniel. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't faced somebody like that yet, you may well. We may well, yeah. But know this, our God knows everything that's going on. These men were so foolish and ignorant to think that King Darius would not realize exactly the trap that they had set and how they had deceived the king. You children here, I think we used to call it playing a joke. I think now they say, you're pranking somebody? You ever been pranked? Well, it's not much fun if you're the prankee. And be careful with that, young people. But it's one thing to prank another student, somebody else in your class maybe. But it's another thing altogether if you get it in your head to think you're going to play a prank on the teacher. You might want to be real careful with that. And it's another matter altogether if you decide you're going to play a prank on the principal of the whole school. Yeah, whoa. One of the young kids back here is going, and he's right. You might want to think that through. Because there's trouble, and then there's real trouble. You might get a little talking to you play a prank on a buddy. You play a prank on the teacher or the principal of the whole school. Now, you're in real trouble now. There's trouble, and then there's real trouble. Look at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Oh, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He realized he'd been tricked. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. This earthly king, Darius, he could not find a way. He couldn't find a way to deliver Daniel. Daniel had broken the law. He had, hadn't he? He had broken the law. We say, well, it wasn't a good law. He broke it. He broke it. And the price had to be paid. The penalty had to be applied. In verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, and that no decree nor statute with the king established may be changed. I mean, how blind are these fellows? They're standing before the man who can have them thrown in the pit, and they're going, we got him. We got him, that Daniel. And they don't understand. Darius loves Daniel. He cares about Daniel. He doesn't want to put Daniel in the lion's den. Beware those, listen to this carefully. Beware those who want the law applied to others because they think they have kept the law. They think because they went 30 days without asking anything that they knew they shouldn't, then they ought to be made the new president. That's what they thought. And that's men by nature. We think we ought to be God. We think we ought to be running the show. Think we can do it better than he can. Anybody who wants the law applied to others because they think they've kept the law themselves, they're called Pharisees. God calls them workers of iniquity, and Daniel may have technically broken the law of Darius, but these men were attempting to take Darius off his throne. That was their goal. It was Daniel first, and then they were going for Darius. Look at verse 16. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Darius admits there that he can't help Daniel. only Daniel's God can. What made Darius say this about Daniel and his God? Now, we can learn something from this. We may think we have a boss or a fellow worker or somebody we meet who's unapproachable. Let me tell you, King Darius was pretty much unapproachable. But Daniel, a prophet of God, had been talking to him. He'd been telling about the God he knew, the God he served. Apparently Daniel had been telling Darius, "Oh, that God the Spirit would enable us, open a door for us, that we can tell somebody who Christ is." Just what a blessing it might be about the God we worship and serve, and that some might see and believe on Christ. Look at verse 18. "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." Darius' typical night was to go and have the harp players come and the flute players, and they'd set out a sumptuous feast, and he'd get on his feather bed. And not tonight. He's troubled. What can we do when we or a brother or sister in Christ is in real trouble? Anything we can do? Perhaps we could and should do what Darius did. Maybe we could postpone our pretty much constant concern about what we eat and drink. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself here now. Could turn off the TV and the computer. We can do without the music, and we could sit or lay in the night for a time and beg our God on our bed to have mercy upon our dear sister or brother in Christ who's in real trouble. Perhaps we too would get a similar result as Darius got. Look what happened. "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel in this lamentable voice, Daniel, 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 servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver you from the lions?" Could he do it, Daniel? That's a lamentable voice. If we really want something, if you ever have one of your kids when they're little come and say, you know, get the ice cream truck, get the ice cream truck, can I get an ice cream? I want ice cream, I want ice cream. They mean it, don't they? They want the ice cream. I tell you, if somebody we love is really, really in trouble, we'll find out about this lamentable voice. "Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, have mercy upon me, the sinner, the sinner." And Daniel, whom Darius loved, he ran. And he cried out for Daniel, saying, "Daniel, if what you told me is true, did your God save you from the lions?" Look at verse 21. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever." It's okay. It's okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. Daniel tells us in the king how it is that he's all right in verse 22. He says, "My God." The one I've been telling you about, Darius, my God, he sent me an angel. And he shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. Now, he wasn't saying I was innocent. He was saying the one who represented me in the lion's den was innocent. And therefore, it was found in me. "And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. it looks like this has all worked out just fine, and you, I didn't harm you by disobeying your law. Do we understand we've broken the law, all of them? But because of the one who came into the den with us, he took all the punishment for it. And therefore we've done no harm to our God. And we can go into his presence one day. He said, my God who sent his angel, my God who shut the lion's mouth, my God, why didn't they hurt you? My God, I was innocently found in you. My God, I've done no hurt or harm to my King because of my God. God the Father sent the Son to shut the mouths of our accusers. Our sin cannot hurt or harm us. It's been put away by Christ. We're therefore innocent before the Holy God, and I come in the name of my King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect. One day when we get there, that's what we say. This is not Bob. I'm not coming with what Bob did. No, I'm coming because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Daniel went into the lion's den guilty. He came out having the consequences of sin satisfied. That angel, we know who that was. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel went into the lion's den guilty and came out having the consequences of sin completely satisfied. He came out innocent. God took care of those lions. He did. Look at verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in God. His God. The true and living God. The one God. The three in one God. Notice this. Daniel did not cry out or start believing God when he was thrown in that pit. Even when he thought he'd be thrown in that pit, he'd go, well, I better get some religion now. We've seen that before. God prepares his people long before the trouble comes. Faith and believing is not given when trials come. It's just revealed. Long before this trouble, this real trouble, God had revealed Christ to Daniel so that when the time came, Daniel knew exactly who his hope was and when he needed to cast all his care upon him. I've read a lot of stories and heard a lot of illustrations about Daniel and the lion's den, but this, I read about it, everything I could find to read about it. It was a pit. And it wasn't all that wide open at the top, but it was deep. Because a mature male lion can leap like 12 feet in the air or something. So it was 15, 20 feet deep. And they put Daniel in there. And they said this King Darius kept 12 to 15 lions in there. And you know how often he fed them? Just enough to keep them alive. They didn't have a trial by jury back then. If they brought somebody before Darius and said, well, we caught him stealing food in there, he didn't go, give him 6 months of bread and water or put him in jail. No, he said, throw him in the pit. Just throw him in the pit. Folks have this absurd notion that God has some kind of a sliding scale or something. No. There's only one punishment in the whole of Scriptures. It's called death. Eternal death. God's going to put people in a place where they won't do any more harm anymore. Darius put people where they wouldn't do him any more harm. And they just throw people in there. And it, can you imagine 12 lions fighting over one body? Oh, the dust and the noise coming up out of that place, And they threw Daniel in there. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. Daniel hit the bottom of that pit. Now, I don't know about Daniel, but if it's me going down that, I think I would have hit the ground going, uh-oh, it's over. It's over. And I'd like to think I had Daniel's faith, but I'm not so sure. When Daniel hit the bottom of that pit, might have taken a minute to clear his head, and he looks around, and over here is a 900-pound male lion just eyeballing him. And another, and he looks over here, and he thinks, they're all over the place, and all of a sudden he realizes there's this part he can't see here in front of him. What's wrong? Suddenly he realizes there's somebody between him and those lions. And those lions are not opening their mouth. They're not growling. They're not doing a thing but sitting there. Why? Because the one between Daniel and the lions has shut their mouths. It's like the three fellows that got thrown into the... Daniel knew some things now. He'd seen some things. It was three fellows got thrown in a fiery furnace. And do you remember what that king said? He said, look in there. Look, look. He said, we put three fellows in there, and now there's four. He found out who the fourth one was, didn't he? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you remember in the book of Revelation when John saw our Lord, what his feet looked like? He said they looked like they'd been burned in a furnace. Why? Because they had. They had. And if those lions were going to bite anybody, it wasn't going to be Daniel. But our Lord shut their mouth. And that ought to be a lesson for us. No matter what anybody tries to do to us, no matter how bleak and drab and dark it looks, we have one with us. We have one between us and the real trouble. All the stuff going on in this world is just little stuff anyway. But the real trouble, our sin, there's one who's got that under control. He's taken it. He carried it up Calvary and let them nail it to him on that tree. And nobody's ever going to say to Daniel, well, have you been good ever since? We don't have to worry about being good. Yeah, we want to be good. Don't misunderstand me. But Christ did it for us. He's already done all the good we need. He's established a perfect righteous holiness on our behalf. It's ours. And one day we'll go claim it. So did these evil men get away with trying to trick the king and bury Daniel once and for all? Get rid of him? Look at verse 24. I'm almost sorry to have to read this verse. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And what did he do? They cast them into the den of lions. And this is, if anybody ever needed a reason to come worship God and to bring our children and family with us, here it is. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. When God wraps up this earth and this world, as we know it will happen, Christ is going to be glorified. And God's people will be rescued, delivered, and will rest in Christ's glory. And then here's how this ends in verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a new decree, a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before, not before me, but before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed in his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May our God enable us to do what Daniel did. Pray, give thanks, and worship God. It's a great story, isn't it? But it's not a story. It actually happened. All right.